The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. It is Miracle Monday on the Eric Metaxas Show, and right now I get to continue my conversation with my guest today, Dr. Sasa. He's the CEO and founder of Health and Hope Myanmar, and that doesn't begin to explain what it is that you do, Dr. Sasa. It's really a joy to have you.
Thank you very much.
I want to ask you about two things. First of all, I want you to tell the story of when the military came to shut down your clinic. I mean, of course, it's a threatening, difficult situation. But you did something that enabled one of these military leaders to somehow change his attitude dramatically. And this, you know, I say it's Miracle Monday on the program. I mean, this to me sounds like a miracle, what happened. But if you don't mind, tell us that story.
I was, after I finished my studies from medical school, I went there and I was not allowed to go inside of Burma because of security reasons. Then, and India villages accept me to stay in India village, which is just a mile away from the border. And I invite all those men and women to come to India village where I stay. And I have like 500 villages from Burma stay with me in their village, and that also triggered some security problems. And then so I got received both military attractions from both side of the countries and the region. It was tough, and of course I became a target. And the only thing they want was for me not to stay there, for me not to do what I was doing. And they came, and I was so nervous because, you know, if some few hundreds of the soldiers turn up with the weapons and with the guns thing just
that,
in
that
my
many.
Training center, yes. And it was just, it's just scary, and it's a scary moment. And I don't know that they were there. After I came out from the room, the classroom that I was training, I was just really surrounded. And I just said, I just say one thing. You know, I felt like I have only 1 minute to live in this world. That's what I felt.
You really thought they had come to kill you?
Yeah, yeah. I really felt that kind of a mini thought. I thought this is the end of the day. You know, so I have one word to say. So I just say, how are you? How are you, my friend?
So you greet these hostile...
I just say, how are you, my friend? And then let's come have tea together. And I will be happy to say whatever you want. And I will be happy to do whatever you want. And that was how the conversation starts. And then they agree, and they came, and we sat down together. And I was saying, you know, I really felt that these villagers should not die to diarrhea. I believe that they should alive. I believe that no childbirth should happen anymore. No childbirth death should happen anymore to anyone. And then I'm just trying to do that. And so I explained to myself. And after that, I said, you know, we came here to destroy.
So these military leaders had come there to destroy the center, to destroy
your
work.
They just tell me to close down, yeah, to close down. It's a kind of confrontation. I have the choice to make it, and I was not ready to close down the center because it was giving life to many thousands of people. And why would I close down? And so I refused someone to close down and said, you know, this is really, if the military or the army guys, if you take away this baby who are dying and promise me that you will look after it, I'm ready to leave. As long as there's no promise of helping these people out, I'm ready to be, you know, to die for this. But you can't kill my vision. You can't kill the love. You cannot kill the hope. Maybe you just can kill my body. That point I say in that way, and of course that changed the whole thing. And I say I will not surrender. I will not give up. And because this is about not about me. It's about thousands of babies, thousands of men and women who are supposed to die if I'm not here. And they changed their life.
Very few people ever confront their own mortality, and very few people have to think about surrendering their life for God's purpose. And you, in a way, had this privilege to come to this moment and to have God use you in this moment. And you said that somehow these hostile military people were touched by what you said. I mean, this is not what we would expect.
Yeah, and it was also a miracle that they get some of the money that they brought maybe to buy some cigarette or some food.
They gave you money.
They say, doctor, well done, you know, we must leave this place now because we are on call and, you know, we can't stay here.
We're very sorry we can't stay and kill you. We've got to go. Here's some money. I mean, this is unbelievable. In some ways it's funny because it's so joyous. It's such a joyous ending to something that could have ended so terribly. Now, are there local churches in the area where you're working? Do you work with the churches?
Yeah, at the India villages where I was based, so there's a local church that strongly supported, and they really pray with me. And we went to the mountain, the hill. We pray for 500 of us under the trees. We pray and we cry out to God, and God help us. We have got this warning from the military, warning from the officer to close down this training center. But after 2010, there was election, and I was invited back to the country. So since then, of course, I now based in Burma, no more in the India villages. So things have changed through the pain and suffering of that struggle. And then the local church is the backbones of our work. They really love us, and they pray with us. They really, really care for what we are doing. So they are very, very active.
I mean, most of us, you know, just find it hard to believe that there are churches in such remote areas with this kind of faith. I mean, it's encouraging to us. It's a little bit ironic, right, that we can be encouraged by the faith of villagers in a part of the world that we couldn't find on a map. But when you talk about, you know, going under the trees and praying with hundreds of people, you're really praying. You know, this is not just an activity.
Yeah.
That you're praying to move God's heart to do something. And it sounds like your prayers are being answered.
Definitely. It was some of the people also do fasting prayer. And then they
fasting.
And they pray to God, and they do not eat food for 3 days. And they would be to stay in the forest and, you know, just pray to God, and that God will move those kind of evil hearts that try to destroy us, that try to kill us, that try to dismay us and, you know, discourage us. So if I look at the negative side of it, I do not see any reason why I should be there. But when I look into God and Jesus and the church and the cross, I found a hope that we still have to go, and because that's what God has taken us to give the hope to thousands of people who otherwise would not have their hope.
And of course, part of what you have to do every year is you travel to raise funds for healthandhope.org.
Yeah.
And I know it's why you're in New York now. What brings you to New York?
So we really like to build more churches. We like to build more colleges and more schools and more clinics. And there's so much that we can do for all those people who can come and have not just health or physical, but also hope of the spiritual and their future. And we like to build more school, more colleges, and more churches. That's why I came to New York to see if there's any friends, any person who are interested to support us, because that is the great cause that they can support. And they will be there for many, many generations to come. And that is going to be the hope for every millions of people. We are not looking only in Burma. We believe that we can even transform China, big neighbor, India, big neighbor. And that is strategically, geographically, very important piece of land where we can build so many facilities that the Indian and the Chinese and the Burmese all will come, and they will give them love. That's what we can give. We will give them that love. And with that love, everything is going to happen.
I don't have any doubt that that's true. It is just it's just an honor to get to sit with you, Dr. Sasa, to hear what God is doing. Anybody who doubts that God is alive and he's working, it's so beautiful. I want to say, folks, go to healthandhope.org. I know there are people listening who are moved to help and to get involved, and I want to urge them to do that. Dr. Sasa, it's a privilege. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
I couldn't sleep at night. All I could think about was my credit card debt.
I knew I couldn't get a loan, so the thought of owning a home or a new car seemed totally out of the question.
I was afraid to answer the phone, and I dreaded the mail.
It just felt like my credit card debt was this deep pool, and I was just drowning in it.
This might be you right now, and you should know you're not alone.
There is hope.
Right now, certified counselors at Trinity Debt Management are standing by and ready to help you, not judge you.
One call to 1-800-990-6976, and you'll find hope to live your life out from under the weight of credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
The 2020 election will be the most dramatic in our lifetime. For the first time, millennials will outnumber baby boomers and will vote into office the most liberal and progressive socialist this country has ever seen. In her first 100 days, she will create a nightmare for anyone with a 401k, IRA, or any other savings. If you do nothing to prepare or prevent this, you will fall victim to this socialist agenda. This is why we are urging everyone to visit thenextobama.com and prepare by reading The Battle for America, why the 2020 election will cause the biggest financial crisis in U.S. history. In this book, we explain in detail the candidate we believe will run for president in 2020, what platform she'll run on, and why she will win. Visit thenextobama.com right now to get your copy and learn what you need to do today to prevent these events from happening. Go to thenextobama.com today to learn more and act. That's thenextobama.com. Thenextobama.com.
Paid for by Morning Bullets.
You live your life in the songs you hear on the rock and roll radio. And when a young girl doesn't have any friends, that's a really nice place to go. Folks hoping you'd turn out cool, but they had to take you out of school. You're a little touched, you know.
Hey there, folks. That's Helen Reddy. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I am so excited right now. Before I burst, let me introduce the guest about whom I'm excited. Carolyn Cox, the Right Honorable the Baroness Cox of Queensbury, a friend and a hero, is sitting with me in the studio. I think she's right here.
Baroness Cox. I think I'm here, too.
Are you here?
I think I'm here.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you happen to be in New York so that we're able to do this. I've interviewed you before, and I said, someday I'm going to get it right. And look, we've got a studio. We built a studio for this. Are you nervous?
Very.
I know.
And it's an impressive studio.
It is an impressive studio. I have to say that you really are someone that I've grown to love. And before I loved you, I admired you for your work. Now, the first thing I want to do on this program is introduce those to whom you are not familiar. Who are not familiar with you to your story. Because first of all, anybody says Baroness Cox, is that real? What does that mean? You're supposed to have a tiara. You're supposed to have attendants, you know, wearing starched ruffs or something. When I think of a baroness, so you have to explain quickly to my audience just what you do and how you are a baroness.
Well, thank you for having me. All I ever say about myself is I'm actually a nurse and a social scientist by intention. That's what I thought I was doing with my life. And a baroness by astonishment.
Okay.
Now, you become a baroness
okay.
by being appointed to the British House of Lords,
yeah.
which is like your Senate.
But I could never become a baroness.
No, you could become a lord.
Ah.
But I didn't move in those circles.
Uh-huh.
So I was very much the first baroness I'd ever met. And you wake up one morning.
Wait a minute. You were the first baroness you had ever met.
That's correct.
Well, we have this in common because you are also the first baroness that I have met.
Yeah, we have a lot in common, and that's
isn't this wonderful?
Isn't it?
Okay, so you didn't inherit the title.
Nope.
You were a nurse.
Correct.
And as we say in New York, what happened?
Well, I was appointed by Margaret Thatcher. Well, Her Majesty the Queen makes the appointment. Margaret Thatcher recommended me for appointment to the House of Lords, like your Senate, because I did a lot of work fighting for academic freedom in the days when Marxism and Leninism dominated much of our higher education
okay,
in Britain.
Now, there are many things that I learned from friends. I had no idea that in the early 70s, mm-hmm. Marxism was dominant. Communist thinking was dominant in academic circles in Great Britain. When you said that to me, I thought I had some dim view of, you know, the activist left of those days. But the idea that you were teaching at a nursing college, what were you doing at the time?
I wasn't teaching in a nursing college. I was teaching at one of our very, very politicized polytechnics. I was head of an academic department. 16 of the faculty of 20 were Communist Party or further left.
And what year was this?
This is in the 1970s, before you were born.
Yes, yes, before I was born again is what you meant to say. Okay, so, but that's just extraordinary to me, that because I want my audience really to understand what we're saying here. You were a nurse and you were teaching at a polytechnic institute. And we know that in America today, for example, the left has taken over academia, and that's been the long march through the institutions. This has been going on way before most people realize. I mean, this was already going on in the 30s. But to say that of
How many faculty members?
I had 20 in my department, so, of 16 faculty were Communist Party or further left.
Okay, so that just, you know, whenever I hear things like this, I know some of my audience wishes I would just shut up, but I cannot believe that that's true. 16 of 20 were avowed communists or further left. How do you go further left from that?
Oh, well, in Britain, there were things like the Socialist Workers' Party that was further left than the communists. It was rough, tough stuff. And what really annoyed and worried me was that the students were getting a really raw deal.
Right.
I mean, I stand for academic freedom to pursue the truth within the context of academic rigor. They, academic blackmail, physical violence. We had violent occupations. They were premised on lies. I was physically assaulted. It was rough, tough stuff.
Okay, so in a word, nothing has changed in academia in 50 years.
Well, I was worried it was going to grow, so I wrote a book about it with two colleagues, and it's called The Rape of Reason, The Corruption of the Polytechnic of North London.
Okay.
You don't write...
What year did that come out?
75.
Was it as a result of that Lady Thatcher appointed you or put you forward?
Well, God gave me a lifeline, because you don't write and run. So I was going to go back and face the music and quite nervous. But the day before the book was due to be published, there was a phone call from someone not known on this side of the Atlantic, but very well known at that time, called Bernard Levin. And he had three...
Well, now, wait a minute. You just insulted everyone on this side of the Atlantic. You think we're idiots? Many of us have indeed heard of Bernard Levin. I maybe have not. But please, go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I honor all those who had heard of him, because I didn't know much about him.
Yeah. No, I actually have heard of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful writer, and he had three articles a week in the London Times. And I was getting kids ready for school, and Murray, my late husband, called up and said, Bernard Levin's
on
the phone. My kids, yes.
So in the middle of all this, you had kids,
absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely.
Holy
yeah.
cow.
Three kids. Two sons, one daughter. I've now got 10 grandchildren, 5 grandsons, 5 granddaughters.
It just gets worse and worse.
Perfect.
What's happening?
Family planning, and I take
What's
all the
happening?
Credit for
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, to go back to Bernard Levin, the day before the book was due to be published, he phoned. He said, I've just read your book. I think it's the most important book for the future of democracy I've read for the last 10 years. So he gave us a wonderful article in the Times, strapline at the top, in all its brutality, the making of an intellectual concentration camp. Then what was wonderful, at the end, he said, this is such an important book, I'm going to devote my remaining 2 articles this week to discussing it. So he gave us a trilogy, which he'd only done before, for Mozart and Solzhenitsyn. So
what?
That got the book known, got me known, and was appointed to the House of Lords. And I use my role there to try to be a voice for those who don't have a voice or who have voices who are not heard.
Now, when you wrote the book, The Rape of Reason, is that not a throwback to a previous book or essay by somebody like Addison or Locke or somebody?
Mm-hmm. It's fundamental principles of freedom and democracy, which are being violated in the college, in my department, all the time.
But I mean, the title. Wasn't it the title of something written by one of those men?
Yes, I think it was, but I can't remember now.
Even you can't remember.
No, even I can't remember.
That's called cultural appropriation. You just stole it and you made it your own. We're going to move
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you first in your career, you are faced with this tremendous hostility, and let's call it what it is. It's fascism on the left trying to shut you up and trying to shut down voices of dissent in academia in the early 70s.
Yep.
So you heroically, while you're raising children, decide to take a stand against this and know that it's going to be a tough row to hoe. That's an agrarian term I use because, you know, there are many farms here in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you were willing to face the music, but let's go back. You said that you had been threatened physically, attacked physically. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because people don't understand that simply to be in an academic setting and to say the sort of things that you say, you can be endangered. So tell us if you would.
I'll give you one example out of hundreds. They had an occupation because they didn't like the appointment of the new director who didn't fit their particular ideology.
Yeah.
So we had the violent occupations, the picket lines, very tactical picket lines, very violent, and they shouted the old slogans, racist, fascist, racist, fascist. I knew Terence Miller was neither. He'd fought in the Second World War.
Well, now, who was Terence Miller?
This is the director they didn't want appointed.
The director who was going to be appointed as the head of the Polytechnic.
Okay. And they didn't want it, so they had this huge occupation, and the slogans racist, fascist, et cetera, et cetera. So you had to go through the picket lines, and then they had an occupation collective that would decree what might be allowed to be taught. Nothing to do what students are paid for. Now, I was teaching criminology at the time,
Criminology.
Yeah, but very appropriate.
How in the world do you come to be teaching, if you don't mind my asking, criminology? Because when you say you're a nurse, you were...
Social scientist. It was part of my degree in social
science. I'm sorry. Social scientist and a nurse.
That's
okay.
Right. And I had a group of students who were doing London University exams, and they were desperate for a seminar. So I met them. They came through the picket lines. And what was allowed to be taught was decreed by the Socialist Collective, and there was a board up, and it said Marxism, the Third World, Marxism and family life and so on. Anyway, if you didn't teach what was allowed, you're going to be broken up by bands of vigilantes. So I said to my lovely group of students...
Are you sure this wasn't Germany in the 30s?
It was Britain, I can tell you, in the 70s. I lived it. It's in the book. And anyway, I said to these lovely students, I'm happy to give a seminar, but you realize we could get broken up. Anyway, we found a room. I put myself across the door. 25 minutes into the seminar, the band of vigilantes came. They banged on that door, and I opened it a quarter of an inch. They said, what's going on in here? And I said, this is a sociology, criminology seminar. It's what I'm paid to teach. It's what these students are paid to study. I will continue. If you want to stop, you're going to have to knock me off my chair. If I get hurt in the process, I'll see you are personally liable. I banged the door shut as loud as I could from a quarter of an inch, gesture of defiance. They shouted through, we'll be back, dearie. Anyway, I had a moral victory. We had our seminar. Then they did knock me off my chair,
okay,
and they broke up the seminar.
Hang on a moment. We're going to go to our first break. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the Baroness Cox of Queensbury. Please stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Off the Georgia coast, the Coast Guard says rescuers have drilled through the hull of an overturned cargo ship and made contact with four crew members stuck inside. Two of those crew members have now been successfully rescued from the Golden Ray. President Trump with a campaign rally set for this evening in North Carolina. Meanwhile, the president says peace talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan are now dead after continued violence by the terror organization. Consumer borrowing surged in July at its fastest pace since late 2017, driven by a big jump in credit card use. The Federal Reserve says overall consumer borrowing increased by $23.3 billion in July after a $13.8 billion advance in June. It was the biggest monthly gain in nearly 2 years. On Wall Street, stocks remain mixed. The Dow ahead 42 points, the Nasdaq down 27. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The 2020 election will be the most dramatic in our lifetime. For the first time, millennials will outnumber baby boomers and will vote into office the most liberal and progressive socialist this country has ever seen. In her first 100 days, she will create a nightmare for anyone with a 401k, IRA, or any other savings. If you do nothing to prepare or prevent this, you will fall victim to this socialist agenda. This is why we are urging everyone to visit thenextobama.com and prepare by reading The Battle for America, why the 2020 election will cause the biggest financial crisis in U.S. history. In this book, we explain in detail the candidate we believe will run for president in 2020, what platform she'll run on, and why she will win. Visit thenextobama.com right now to get your copy and learn what you need to do today to prevent these events from happening. Go to thenextobama.com today to learn more and act. That's thenextobama.com. Thenextobama.com.
Paid for by Morning Bullets.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
My lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sail.
Hey there, folks. That's Bobby Darin. I'm Eric Metaxas. And you, madam, are Baroness Carolyn Cox. I just realized whenever I have someone like you here, I just said madam half jokingly, and then I realized that's probably an inappropriate way to address you. I'm supposed to say what?
Caroline. That's my Christian name.
Okay. Caroline.
So, that's right. Thank you.
But anyway, you were just telling a story, and I want you to flesh it out, because it got very exciting at the end, and we had to go to a break. So you were being threatened by this gang of vigilantes, and I mean, anybody is wondering, is there no security at a polytechnic institute in London in 1975?
Well, they did what they did, and they burst into the room. They knocked me off my chair. They subjected the students to half an hour of virulent verbal abuse.
And this is not the Cultural Revolution in China. This is London.
This was London, Polytechnic of North London in the 1970s.
Yeah.
But that story has a happy ending, because the student who actually led the attack came to me at the beginning of the next academic year and said, Caroline, I'm a bit embarrassed asking you this. Would you mind being my academic tutor this year? I said, Tony, I love living dangerously. I'd be delighted. But I got to know him very well. And his story, I think, is very significant. Now, the Polytechnic's had a lot of older students, not university school leavers. And so he said to me one day, having worked below decks on oil tankers, a tough life, he said, do you know, Caroline, it takes, forgive my language, a hell of a lot of courage to ask to have you as a tutor. Most of the students would like that, but most dare not ask, because the other staff, faculty, will fail their exams. It was a reign of terror, intimidation, and that's why I felt I had to write that book, because I could see the seeds being sown of what we're now reaping, the whirlwind of massive, aggressive secular humanism and the assaults on family life, on faith and freedom. And the seeds were sown.
Okay, and so that was your initial book, The Rape of Reason, 1975. Is that still available if people go online to look for it?
Well, I'll tell you what is available, and I'm happy to make that available, are the free articles by Bernard Levin, which summarize the book.
Okay.
And just by quick reference, the front of the book, if anyone does find it, actually has one of the sad pictures of a graduation ceremony being broken up by these students, ripping up all the programs, kicking the seats in one of the concert halls in London. And it's sad, because graduation ceremonies should be happy. Parents come from abroad to celebrate, and that one was absolutely destroyed.
Well, we're talking about something that unfortunately has continued to this day, and it's kind of amazing to hear you talk about this and then to realize we are there now, all these years later. I think we've had some undulations in between, but we're pretty much there, this kind of leftist fascism that wants to shut down free speech and free thinking. But before we continue along these lines, I guess eventually, maybe not in this program, but tomorrow we'll air another one. But you've gotten very involved in something, of course, similar, very related, is speaking up for those who are persecuted around the world for their faith. It's obviously a different kind of the same thing. What was it that planted in you these ideas of freedom and so on and so forth? In other words, what made you stick out like a sore thumb in the early 70s in the academic world of London?
Well, I found myself in the House of Lords, like your Senate, and I thought, this is a great privilege. How do I use it? And the idea came, it's a wonderful place to be a voice for those who don't have voices. Voices are not heard. So I set up my not-for-profit, where we work for victims of oppression and persecution who are off the radar screen of major aid organizations. HART, Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust, we go to people who are not reached by the big boys, by the aid organizations, for political reasons, because the government doesn't give permission for the aid organizations to go there. So I do spend some of my time snucking across borders illegally to reach those who are unreached. And in fact, just last week I was in Sudan and in the Nuba Mountains, where people are suffering horrifically at the hands of Khartoum. And we work in other places, such as Nigeria, where the massive killing of Christians has been going on. We were there when that was going on, at one of the times the epicenter of violence. We work in South Sudan, and people are in need. We work in, we call it Burma, because the local people prefer that. Heavy fighting is still going on.
So everyone says Myanmar.
Yes, but we say Burma, because the local people prefer that.
But now, this is very interesting. So is it a politically correct
thing to say Myanmar, that people, we feel that we, for some reason we're supposed to say Myanmar, and you're telling me the locals prefer Burma?
Well, we work with local partners. They're the heroes and heroines on the front lines of faith and freedom, and they use Burma, so I use Burma, and it's actually used in the British Parliament.
Burma. Mm. I'm going to start using Burma.
Yes,
and I may start using Burma Shave. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
You probably wouldn't.
Ignorant.
You probably wouldn't need it. It's when you shave. It used to be very popular in the United States, and there were signs along the highway, and they would have four of them in a row, and they would rhyme. It would be sort of like a limerick or something like that, and it always ended with Burma Shave. Because it was very popular, but we're going to cut that out because nobody cares. Okay, so back to your exciting life. So you are made a baroness, and that was 1975 as well.
No, that was
77.
No, it was 1982. The list was announced, and 1983 I was actually introduced to the House of Lords.
Okay. So that's a big deal to go from being an academic, a nurse, a social scientist, to suddenly being elevated by Margaret Thatcher to the House of Lords. It's an extraordinary thing, and especially for Americans, the very idea of it. I mean, I've had the privilege to be there a number of times, once with you. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that and what you decided to do with this appointment. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go away.
So they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Yes, when love is gone.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
The 2020 election will be the most dramatic in our lifetime. For the first time, millennials will outnumber baby boomers and will vote into office the most liberal and progressive socialist this country has ever seen. In her first 100 days, she will create a nightmare for anyone with a 401k, IRA, or any other savings. If you do nothing to prepare or prevent this, you will fall victim to this socialist agenda. This is why we are urging everyone to visit thenextobama.com and prepare by reading The Battle for America: Why the 2020 election will cause the biggest financial crisis in U.S. history. In this book, we explain in detail the candidate we believe will run for president in 2020, what platform she'll run on, and why she will win. Visit thenextobama.com right now to get your copy and learn what you need to do today to prevent these events from happening. Go to thenextobama.com today to learn more and act. That's thenextobama.com. Thenextobama.com.
Paid for by Morning Bullets.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app. Home Advisor.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Girl, to be with you is my favorite thing. Yeah. And I can't wait till I see you again. Yeah. I wanna put on my boogie shoes.
Hey there, folks. I'm sitting here with Baroness Caroline Cox, and it's just so much fun to be with you. You always get very serious when we do interviews. Oh, yes, you do. But you're a real rascal when we get off. When we get off here, you joke around more. And I just want people to know this is an act. And by the way, people who are scoring at home, that music was Casey and the Sunshine Band. And that was a huge hit before you were a member of the House of Lords. So let's go back. You become a member of the House of Lords, and you say you were a baroness by astonishment. Okay, so I think if I were appointed to the House of Lords, I would be astonished as well. But you chose to use this platform given to you by the great Margaret Thatcher to speak, to be a voice for the voiceless. So tell us about that and the genesis of what, you know, because it doesn't seem to me that you were initially occupied in that world. You were fighting for academic freedom. You were fighting, you know, local battles, so to speak, or at least within the country. What made you change?
Well, with that great privilege means that I could be a voice for people whose voices are not heard. So a whole series of opportunities came my way. Amongst the early days was in Poland, was in the very dark days of martial law and Soviet communism, and I used to travel out on trucks with medical aid. I didn't drive them, but I know hotels you could stay in. So you'd stay on the truck with a truck driver for a week at the time, and I can tell you the top bunk of a 32-ton truck is, you can't even turn around, you can't read. But the people of Poland were suffering so much. It was a privilege to be with them and to come back and tell their story, their faith, their courage, their generosity, their dignity. That's Poland was the first.
Were you involved with, how shall we pronounce it, Lech Walesa?
Well, was certainly involved with his movement, the Solidarity, or Solidarność movement.
Solidarność movement. Mm-hmm. And how do they pronounce his name over there?
Lech Walesa.
Really?
Lech Walesa.
I always think of, what is that? That American newscaster in the 80s would always say, Lech Walesa. And that was not correct. All right, so you start out right there in the battle. I mean, obviously, this is before Lech Walesa succeeded and mm-hmm. became a hero in the Solidarity movement. And what were you doing there? In other words, that's not quite clear to me.
Well, taking in medical aid. We would go on the 32-ton trucks full of medical aid, but also to be there because other people weren't there, and to come back and say what was happening, to have been, I've seen, this is how it really is. And that was very important, and the people appreciated that. Then Poland came through into freedom, and then I did a little work in Russia with orphaned and abandoned children and was asked to help change the whole childcare system for Russia, from putting kids into orphanages, which were terrible, into developing foster family care. We always work through local partners. They're the heroes and heroines. And we did actually manage to introduce foster family care through our local partners throughout 43 regions throughout Russia.
Wow.
And then from then, I've got known in Russia. So I was then asked by Yelena Bonner Sakharov, the widow of the very famous Sakharov, the Nobel laureate, to help organize a human rights conference in Moscow. And it was a big deal.
And this was in the 90s?
1991. Rostropovich played the opening concert, and Gorbachev and Yeltsin were there glaring at each other. And it was there, and I was chairing a session, there was a guy with burning eyes, a burning passion to speak, and he said, well, you're talking human rights. My people are suffering them. He came from a place I'd never heard of in my life, called Nagorno-Karabakh, a bit of ancient Armenia.
I've only heard of Nagorno-Karabakh because of you, but it's not something you hear about on the news.
Well, I've now been 85 times. But they were, at that time, being subjected to ethnic cleansing by Azerbaijan, using Operation Ring, surrounding villages in this little land, Armenian, historically Armenian land.
So this is the border of Armenia and Azerbaijan?
Well, it's a place of Armenia that Stalin, with his salami tactics, cut off and stuck inside Azerbaijan. And when the Soviet Union imploded, Azerbaijan wanted the Armenians out. So they began ethnic cleansing. The Armenians didn't want to go. They'd already lost all of Western Armenia in the genocide, so they resisted. 150,000 against 7 million, hunting rifles against tanks, David against Goliath. And that war was horrific. I used to count 400 Grad missiles a day pounding down their little capital city, low-flying air bombardment. It was horrendous. It was the most high-intensity conflict of the early 90s.
If you don't mind my asking, what did your husband and children think of you going to these places?
Well, I usually told them when I came back.
I suspected you were going to say something like that. Well, please be sure that it doesn't happen again. Okay, just kidding. I guess it's extraordinary that you go to these war zones and that you still are doing this now. Mm-hmm. And this is a long time after those years. I mean, you've been doing this for quite some time. You have been recently to war zones. Let's talk a little bit about that, just because my audience is curious about everything you do. And you go to many, many different kinds of places. So where have you been this last year?
I've been I'm just back from Sudan and South Sudan, back into Britain on Monday and here today. And the people there have been suffering so much. The regime in Khartoum have been carrying out genocide of its people in the Nuba Mountains. And on my previous visits to Nuba Mountains, I climbed for 2.5 hours up a mountain, the Nuba Mountains, in 40 degrees heat to find people living in caves with deadly snakes. Nobody had reported that, and we went there to get the evidence, and it was so important to do that.
Now, somebody has to translate 40 degrees Celsius. That's pretty hot, Albin, right? Because we don't have that over here. We're still on the American system. You say these things. I have to joke because I can hardly believe what's coming out of your mouth. You hiked into the mountains. First of all, at your age, I don't expect you to be hiking in tremendous heat up into mountains. I hope that you were well attended. But the very idea that you did it, and then that you're telling me there are people living in caves with poisonous snakes. Now, why? I don't quite get this.
Because the regime in Khartoum has decided to carry out ethnic cleansing.
So they're hiding.
They've been constantly bombed by the regime from Khartoum with Antonovs. That has stopped now, I'm happy to say, for the time being. But when we were there, they were being constantly bombed. And Khartoum would deliberately target places where people gathered, like mosques, churches, marketplaces, schools, clinics. And they were driven off the land to hide in those mountains. And what a privilege to be alongside them. Brave, brave people, but suffering so much. And it's so important to be there.
Well, we're going to go to a final break in this hour. I want people just to know that you've written many books. And when we come back, I want to help people figure out how to find you and your organizations, because I know there are many people listening who probably want to help. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott.
They're dead. As far as I'm concerned, they're dead.
President Trump says he has canceled negotiations with the Taliban in wake of Thursday's car bombing in the Afghan capital. Killed an American soldier, a Romanian service member, and 10 civilians in a busy diplomatic area near the U.S. Embassy. He says there will be no future negotiations with the Taliban.
They thought that they had to kill people in order to put themselves in a little better negotiating position. When they did that, they killed 12 people. One happened to be a great American soldier, a wonderful young man from Puerto Rico, families from Puerto Rico. And you can't do that. You can't do that with me. So they're dead as far as I'm concerned.
The president speaking on the White House lawn before departing for North Carolina, where he'll hold a rally in Fayetteville. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 39 points. The NASDAQ down 15. This is SRN News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlique.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking Garlique, and it works.
I've been taking Garlique for years.
My pharmacist recommended Garlique. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take Garlique every day. No garlic breath.
Lots of people like you are choosing Garlique to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlique, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's the Ohio Players. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm sitting here with Baroness Cox, Caroline Cox. Now, I read here in my notes, these notes prepared for me, that you were married in 1959. Now, did your husband know about this?
No.
Well, he doesn't know about this.
He knew where I was getting. He didn't go into all the details.
It strikes me, it's amazing, because my parents were married in 1959, and they're way older than you, I can tell you from experience. But we're going to do another hour, and we can talk about anything, but we have just a few minutes left in this hour. So if people want to find you, is there a website?
There is indeed. The UK website is caroline.cox@heart-uk.org.
That was an email you just gave me.
Sorry, quite right. The website is www.heart-uk.org.
If people just Google Baroness Caroline Cox, I know they will find you, and you have books. I want to talk in the next hour about some of these books. I'm really excited about this one, Cox's Book of Modern Day Saints and Martyrs. This is hilarious because many people get the joke. Fox's Book of Martyrs, you, Cox, not Fox, have written Cox's Book of Modern Saints and Martyrs. Very, very important book. There's also a book on this immoral trade, slavery in the 21st century. Is this the more recent book?
Well, that's about slavery. I was really concerned that people understood the horrors of slavery and had the privilege of rescuing quite a few slaves from Sudan and South Sudan. Their stories are there. There are stories of modern-day slaves in Burma and also the child soldiers who were abducted in northern Uganda. I want to bring home the reality, the horror. The abuse, the maltreatment, the torture, the helplessness, the hopelessness of modern-day slavery. And there's a section too on trafficking, which is on our own doorsteps.
It's so difficult for those of us in the West, particularly in America, separated by an ocean from most of these things, to fathom that this can be happening. Because I think there is an assumption that someone is taking care of this, that our governments, that NATO and the United States, the most powerful military, not just in the world, but in history, ought to be able to do something. And obviously, that's not the case.
Not the case at all. And many of those slaves are still enslaved in Sudan. But in Nigeria, where we're also working, there's a very poignant case of Leah, a young girl who was kidnapped by Boko Haram. And she refused to convert to Islam. So she's still a slave. They've told she's going to be a slave all her life. And there are one or two other aid workers who are still enslaved or hostages there. I don't understand why the Nigerian government cannot actually rescue them.
Well, it's one of the reasons that it's so great to have you on, because people need to understand that we are indeed living in a fallen, broken, sinful world, and that things that ought to be unimaginable are happening. And you are a witness to those things, and that's why you come on programs like this, to let people know that if you have any money, if you have any time, if you have any abilities, God needs your help in helping these people. And I know that your organization, what is it called, Heart?
Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust. We're in the process, with my friend, of setting up a U.S. version of it.
Okay.
So we could keep in the loop on that.
Yeah, because we've raised money through Christian Solidarity International and whatever. We've talked about these things, but because I've known you for so long, it's just extraordinary to have a friend who's witnessed these things. We're out of time in this hour, but Caroline, if I may, we're going to keep you here. Lock the door, Albin, and we're going to continue this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.